Chapter 19, Section 2.3, Scenario. My answer. One of the beauties of maps is that I can describe a space and what I intend to do about it, allowing others to challenge me. Now, I'm no regulator, but I can propose a solution. It might be a dreadful solution, there might be far better ways of doing this, the map could be more accurate, but that's the point. Maps are fundamentally about communication. It's also important to note that every choice you make, if you have a map, can be reviewed in the future and learned from. Mapping itself isn't about giving you an answer, it's about helping you think about a space and learn from what you did. You won't get good at mapping or strategic play if you don't either act or put the effort into understanding a space before you act and review it later. It's a bit like playing a guitar. There's only so much you can read from books, eventually you have to pick up the instrument and use it. This is when you really start learning. Hence I'll give you my answer, which took about 30 minutes, but on the provision that we all understand that many of you will have a better answer. If you shared those maps with me, then I might learn something I'd appreciate. Let us start with a map on which I've marked my play, see figure 248, and I'll go through my reasoning after. See figure 248, my answer. For more details. I have two parts to my answer. The first, marked as number one in red circles, is to open up the data, practice and systems that I use to build and manage standards to other countries. The reason for this is that I want to drive standards to a globally accepted norm and make it as easy as possible for other nations to learn from our experience and reduce cost. In return for such a generous gesture, I'm aiming to buy both ease of use and interaction when dealing with other country agencies, including good cooperation through a hefty element of goodwill. By opening it all up, I'm also carefully avoiding trying to impose any standard, but instead encourage adoption. I might have invested in building those systems, i.e. invested financial capital in activities, practices and data, as a government, but I'm trading that capital for data and social capital from others. The second part of my play, the red number 2, is to name and shame. I would aim to deliberately undertake a campaign of highlighting waste in global supply chains and the poor understanding that companies have over their actual supply chain. This will involve us working with other countries to understand the supply chain, hence another purpose to step 1. I'm going to direct this campaign towards shareholders and customers in order to create pressure for change despite the inertia that executives within the company might have. I don't care how the industry solves the problem, they can use blockchain if they wish, but I'd intend to use policy to drive for a more open approach on global supply chains. The two parts are needed because having a global supply being transparent is useful, but not as useful if the standards involved throughout the chain are similar, or at least the details can be accessed. Now, you might fundamentally disagree with this approach, and that's fine. It might surprise you to discover that I'm not a regulator and have little to no idea about the current state of the pharmaceutical industry. Hence, the mythical company. But disagreeing is part of the purpose of a map. It exists to enable precisely these sorts of discussions by exposing the assumptions. However, it's also important to note that action and strategy doesn't have to involve specific technology, for example blockchain, but can instead be driven through policy. There is a tendency in today's world to immediately jump for a technological solution when other routes are available. For example, frictionless trade doesn't necessarily require magic smart borders.